Right, so we'll start with a word of prayer. Stand for prayer. Okay. You must tell me. Let me know. We stand for prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come humbly before thee now to thank thee for this time that we can spend around thy precious word, which is able to make us wise unto salvation. We pray, Lord, for the things that we learn from it, we might put into practice in our lives, so that we might glorify thee, and that thy name will be glorified on the earth. Pray then, Lord, that thou be with us and watch over us as we do these things and as we commit this meeting into thy hand. We pray that thou be with us as we continue on, and we offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Right then, so as I said, it's informal, so if anyone wants to say anything, just speak out. Is that okay? Yeah? And I thought, as I said, Brother Ray said, I said, Brother Ray, what should I do with the sisters this afternoon? And he said, something practical and something useful for them. So I said, what can we do? So that was quite, and you said, I asked everyone, and they said, oh, speak on anything. So that's, anything's a big subject. So Brother Ray helped shorten it down, and I thought, okay, well, what could be useful for sisters to consider? I'm not a sister, so I don't know much about being a sister, but the Word of God tells us about it, doesn't it? So where can we go to in the Word of God? So there's a proverb. Actually, Ruth said to me, what about Proverbs 31? So if we open our Bibles at Proverbs chapter 31... there's a really nice section of scripture about what's called the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31. So what I thought we could do, to start with, is everybody okay with reading a verse? Is everybody okay if we read round one verse each when we're there? Three verses each? Yeah, we can do three each. Are we all there then? Yeah. Are we ready? Hang on, I think Sister Oop, let me get the name right. Sister Marnie. Can't you see? Oh. Well, if you can't read, will you be able to read? And if you can't see, then that's going to be tricky. Will you be able to read some verses with us? Like you can go out? That's fine. So we'll skip Sister Marlene. So you just listen then. Right then. So we've got Proverbs chapter 31. And actually what we're going to do is we're going to read from verse 10. So I think maybe if we do two, verse 10 onwards, maybe if we do two verses each, and if I start, then Sister Ruth, then we'll go around in clockwise. Okay, so two verses each, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. Verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil.
She will give good and all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands.
She bringeth her food from afar. She rendeth also right to his dead man, and giveth meat in her household, and her portion.
She is I think you read, did you read verse 20? You read verse 19 and 20, didn't you? Verse 18, yeah. 18 and 19. That was good. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness.
Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, sisters. And it's Sister, is it Sister Carly? Well, curly, as in curly hair. She hasn't got curly hair. Welcome, Sister Curly. So what I was just saying to everybody was that we're going to look at this chapter here in Proverbs chapter 31, as it talks to us, because Brother Ray said, do something practical about being a sister. And I said to Brother Ray, well, I'm not a sister, so... But we thought about it, and we thought, the Word of God tells us about being a virtuous woman. What can we get out of it? So we've just read Proverbs 31, verses 10 to the end. And so I think maybe if we go through each of the verses slowly and basically think about what the proverb is trying to say to us as we go through. So first of all, we read in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Now, we might ask, well, what does virtuous mean? You know, what does it mean to be virtuous? And when you actually, I looked the word up before we came out in Strong's, when you get down to the meaning of the original word, it means to be worthy. That's really what it's saying to us. Who can find a worthy woman? So to be worthy, what does that mean? It means to be acceptable, to be good in the eyes of God, doesn't it? And the proverb says here, that it's very rare to find someone who's like that. So we should all be trying to be like this virtuous woman, this worthy woman who's very valuable. You know, in the eyes of God, it's more valuable than rubies. And then verse 11, it says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Come down, sister. Calm. Is it? Carla. Let me put the name down on the thing. Cara. Okay. She's going to sit in the corner with us. Cara. So what does it mean in verse 11 when it says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil? But what it's saying there, isn't it, is it's saying that the husband doesn't need to go anywhere else because she's got everything. She is pleasing her husband, she's doing everything for the family, and the husband values her above all things. He doesn't need to go anywhere else, and he trusts in her. So there's this trust, so she must be trustworthy. So I guess that's the first thing that we need to bring out from here, is that we must become people that other people can trust. So that when we, like it says, doesn't it, in the New Testament, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. What we say, that's what we do. And if we can do that, and if we try to do that, other people will see that, and they'll trust in what we're doing. And that's what it's saying here in verse 11. So we need to be trustworthy. And it says then in verse 12, she will do him, that's the husband, good and not evil all the days of her life. Now at this point, I wondered if I could introduce you to this. Have you ever come across this little book here? It's called The Bible Reader's Companion. Have you ever seen anything like this? You may have seen it. It's got the readings at the beginning, which you probably have seen. Have you seen this? No? Yeah? Here we go. Right. So you've got the Bible Companion here. And this gives us all the readings for the month. But what's interesting about this one, which you can get, I mean, Brother Ray will be able to get them for you if you're interested, is that it has the readings like what you have there. But towards the end, it has this thing called, that Brother Roberts wrote, called The Commandments of Christ. And what this is a summary of all the commandments of Christ. It's very, very interesting. So what, I'll give you some examples. So he splits all of them up. So he has the commandments of Christ concerning God. And then he lists out all the commands that he could find about the things about God. And then concerning Christ, concerning brethren and sisters, concerning the stranger, concerning your own character, concerning your actions, concerning your thoughts and speech, your matrimonial relations, parents and children, masters and servants, disobedient brethren, and concerning the assemblies of the brethren. So it's a good summary of all the things that we should be trying to do in Christ. And if Brother Ray gets you some, which I hope he will, if I ask him nicely, he might be able to put an order in for you. But what you can do is, you know, when you do your daily readings, what Ruth and I have done is we've divided them up. So there's like three or four. And each day you can read sort of the summary, last three, and think about those things for that day. So, for example, on the first of every month, it's a good thing to maybe read the first three just when you're doing readings. It doesn't take 2 seconds to go through and to think about. Maybe in the morning, it's very useful. But the good thing about it is there's a summary of the scriptures, and you have the summary there and then the scripture by the side. So we know that these things are coming from the Word of God. It isn't what Brother Robert said. It's actually a summary of what the Bible is saying, which is very useful. We like to have things summarized because it makes it simple for us. And sometimes you have verses from all over the scriptures, which you might not get in your daily readings, but you'd kind of get as a summary in a short section here. So, for example, concerning brethren and sisters, it says, but Commandment 21, we call it, love one another with a pure heart fervently. And it gives us the verses. So it's very good to think about these things. So I'll introduce you to that. It's the Bible Reader's Companion, but it's got the section on the commandments of Christ. So I could, and if you want, I could see if I could send you some if you were interested from England. So, but ask Brother Ray, and Brother Ray can get in touch, and I can get you some. So what I wanted to do though was, what's good about this is that when we come across something in the scriptures, we can think, there's a commandment about that. And you can come to the summary and you can find lots of summaries about it. So it's very useful. So what I thought was interesting was there's the commandment, and in the listing by Robert Roberts, it's commandment 85. And the first thing is it says concerning matrimonial relations, and it says wives to love, submit to, and obey your husbands as the head. So that's what he's summarised about that. And that comes in, links in here, doesn't it? Because it says that, verse 12, she will do him good, that's her husband, and not evil. You know, so we have to love our husbands. Who's married here? Are we all married? Who's not married? Put your hand up if you're married. I'm married. You're married. So we've got some married sisters here. So this is probably just for you, because the unmarried ones can't do this one. Or if your husband's not around, then you can't do it. But if your husband is around, then these commandments are very, very clear, aren't they? That we should love, submit to, and obey your husbands as the head. But of course, above your husband is Christ and God. So he comes first, but then in matters that aren't problematic in that sense, then we have to obey our husbands. Yes, go for it. Yes, this is the problem. So I still think we have to submit to our husbands, But where it comes into conflict with the things of Christ, Christ comes first. That makes so much sense, doesn't it? Because Christ ultimately is the ultimate head of the house. He is the head. And we have to try our best to encourage the husband, especially if the husband's not in the truth. There's some verses, isn't there, about that if your husband's not in the truth, to try and preach the truth quietly to him. And you never know that he might be sanctified and come into the truth afterwards if we conduct ourselves in a righteous way. But, I mean, we have it in my family, well, Ruth's family, where Ruth's mum, she's in the truth, but her dad isn't. And it's very, very difficult. I know it must be very awkward because of what Ruth's mum tells me about things. And it's very, very tough to know what sometimes where to draw the line. It's what things we do obey and what things we help our husband with and what things we don't. Now, I don't know what your individual circumstances are, so I don't know. But all I know is that Christ is the head. He's number one. But then after that, the husband. And it's very tricky if he's not in the truth. But we still have to try our best to do things that are right for him. So I hope that answers it. But yeah, but Christ is the head. So if anything changes that, then Christ, follow Christ. Don't follow the husband. Follow Christ if he's not in the truth. That's my personal advice. So there we go. So we have, and we do have some verses about that, but we don't necessarily need to turn to it. We'll keep going through. As I say, when you get this, you see there, we've got Ephesians, Colossians and Peter. You know, we could turn to some of these verses. Maybe we'll do some in a minute, but let's keep going. It says in verse 13, well, we read from verses 13 through to 16, it's all about how the virtuous woman, she brings food for the family, she weaves wool and flax, and she tries to clothe the family. That's what the idea is. So we have a practical, hard-working woman who's working for her family. Now, we can take this a step further, can't we, brothers and sisters? Well, not brothers, sisters. I'm just used to saying brothers and sisters. We can take this a step further because we all have a family, don't we? We were talking about it earlier. We have natural family members here. But we all have a spiritual family, don't we? So if we apply this in that sense as well, then what's it talking about? You know, we've got to look after each other. We've got to bring each other. It says that she works to bring the food from far. So if a brother or sister are hungry, we should try and feed them. She rises in the night, verse 15. That's, you know, she gets up really early to give meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. And so she looks after all the household. This is what a virtuous woman does. She's looking after all the brothers and sisters. She's looking after her own family first, but then she's looking after all the brothers and sisters that she can to help them in the things of the truth. Not just, you know, clothing, like naturally clothing, because there's another aspect to clothing, which is the aspect of being clothed on with righteousness. We'll look at that in a minute. There's a command 64 which talks to us a little bit about that. Let me read that for you. Well, it's talking about doing things that are good, doing things that are practical, and giving things to other people. And I wanted to just put in this command here. It's from Philippians. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. That's quite difficult, isn't it, to do that? I find it very difficult. I'm always moaning, Ruth will tell you. I moan like mad. But but we should be trying our best to do these good things for all the brothers and sisters, and especially for our household as we go on. And in verse 17 is an interesting thing. So we're going to look at this for a little while now and think about this. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. So what gives us strength? What gives us strength? Well, if we look at this, look at Ephesians chapter 6. We'll look at a few references now about strength. Because the virtuous woman, she is strong. She is a strong woman. No one can move her from the things that she's doing. Why is that? Because she's strong. So if we go to Ephesians, let's have a think about this strength now. Where was it? Ephesians chapter 6. I've got to find Ephesians now.
Problem.
Ephesians chapter... Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong... Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 10. This is the last thing that the apostle says to the brothers and sisters in Ephesus. He says, finally, my brethren and sisters, because in that phrase it's men and women, and this is brethren, it's brothers and sisters. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So what gives us strength is not what we have, but we're strong in the Lord. So when it says the virtuous woman, she's strong, she's a strong woman, what do you think the Word of God is telling us? It's telling us that we need to be strong in the things of God. And that's what motivates this woman, because she's trying to look after her household, she's trying to look after her brothers and sisters. And what is motivating her, what is making her strong in those things, is the strength of the Lord. Let's consider maybe a few others. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's the same idea we get through, coming through again and again and again. To be strong, we're not strong, it's not talking about muscles, it's not talking about physical strength and the strength of human beings, it's talking about being strong in the Lord. We're going to the 1 Corinthians and chapter 16. I'm making you flick around. Is that okay? I hope you don't mind. Is that all right? I can read it to you if it gets tiresome after a while. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse, what have I got down? I've lost the verse now. 1 Corinthians 16. Strong in the Lord. Verse 13. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity or love. So that's the thing, isn't it, brothers and sisters? We've got to be strong in the faith. So it's talking about the things of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, strong in faith. That's what brings strength, isn't it? And we read of that this morning in the Psalms. You know, do you remember the psalmist who said, he lifts his eyes to the hills and he says, from God will come my hope. So it's not us, we're not looking at the things of men. Oh, sorry. I thought you wanted to say something. Yeah. So, God gives us the strength. How does God give us the strength? Well, I want you to turn to Psalms and we'll find out how God gives us strength. We'll have a quick one in Psalm 18 and then we'll look at Psalm 19. Psalm 18, verse 32, we have this said, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. So, we have this idea of strength. Now, he's not talking about physical strength, I don't think, here. We're being talked about spiritual strength. And he says that God gives us strength and makes our feet like hinds' feet. What's a hinds' feet? Well, it's like clothing. It's like goats. I see you have lots of goats around. In fact, which sister did we pick up? I can't remember. Sister, hang on, let me get it in my notebook. Sister Marlene. We picked up Sister Marlene, and in front of us there were these beautiful goats, a very small baby goat that was so cute. Brother Ray nearly ran it over. And we had the goat stew with Brother Ray this afternoon. And I said, some stew, some goats for the stew there. But the point is that the feet, they're very sure-footed, aren't they? You don't often see a goat trip over and fall over. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen a goat trip over and fall over. We have them in England as well. the hind feet are very secure. And we went to Israel, didn't we? And you see them in the mountains, in really steep places, these goats. And they just wander along. There's a really steep drop. They don't care because they're short-footed. They know where they're going and they have those short feet. And that's the lesson that's coming from us, that if we have God's strength, we're not going to slip and fall because we're going to be strong. And it's interesting what it says, because verse 34, he teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. So God teaches us and we become strong. That's what it's saying. So where do we get God's strength from? Well, turn over to Psalm 19, the next psalm along, and it tells us in verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So the things that we are saying and the things that we are thinking, they're the things that will give us strength. And where do we get those things that we know will be right in God's eyes? From God's word. That's where we get our strength from. That's how God teaches us. That's how we can be strong in the faith, so that our feet don't slip when we do things that are bad. It's because we understand God's word. So another exhortation then in the virtuous woman is that she's strong spiritually. She is filling her mind and thoughts with God's word and allowing God to teach her. Allowing God's word to fill her mind, to transform her mind, so that she is strong in these things. And that gives her strength then to help her family and to help her brothers and sisters. So let's turn back then to Proverbs 30. So is this okay? We're just going to go through these just step by step and have a think about it, each one. So, yes, please.
Then a virtuous woman is a different God.
So the woman is a gift from God, and she needs to work for
the man. Is she a gift from God? I am so glad to be a virgin.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't understand all the time. It's your accent, and it's me. I say a small bit. So, someone say it to me again. What's she saying? The virtuous woman. Yes. She has to be virtuous. Yes, because that's what she's doing, isn't she? Yeah, you're absolutely right. So it's not a gift. You have to work for it. So to be virtuous, you have to work towards that, don't you? And then it's like you are a gift from God. Because you're virtuous. Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So if we it says later on in Proverbs 30, 31. Sorry, I didn't understand you. Don't be offended if I good. Oh, no, that's fine. It's me. Not you. It's the accent as well, you know, I think. That's okay. It says, doesn't it? You're talking about working towards it and trying to be like that. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household. And as we said, that could be the household of her family or the brothers and sisters. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Now, to be idle is to be lazy, to do nothing, to just go with the flow, to do nothing at all. And what it says is that she's not like that. The virtuous woman isn't just, she doesn't just bumble along. She tries to work, to make herself useful, like you said. So, and then she can become like a gift from God, you know, in that sense, to her husband, to the brothers and sisters in the Ecclesia. Yeah. Hope that's okay. Right then, the next one. Where are we? Ah, this is an interesting bit. Verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Now this is the bit that's interesting. her candle goeth not out by night. So what does that mean? It means that her candle is like always burning, it's very bright. And in the night time when the darkness is around, her candle is bright, still bright. And we can all think about times when things seem dark in our lives, you know, when things seem very dark and you don't know which way to turn. But the candle is bright for the virtuous woman. So she can see a little bit around her because she has a bright candle. Even though everyone else is in darkness, she's got this light that is bright. And the scriptures talk a lot about light, don't they? And they talk very much about it. The famous one is in Psalm 119. We're going to turn there. If you don't get around to getting there, that's fine. I can read it to you. But Psalm 119 is brilliant. It's very famous. When I read it to you, you'll remember the words. Psalm 119, verse 105. In fact, the whole of Psalm 119 that we read recently in the readings, it's all about God's Word, really, when you pick it apart. It's all about God's Word. In fact, the verses are broken down into letters, aren't they? They're called sections, which are the Hebrew alphabet. So it's all about God's Word, God's letters, God's words. And it says in 105, Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You see? So the virtuous woman, she has a bright lamp. What's the lamp? What allows her to see in the darkness? God's Word. You see how it always keeps coming back? Where's her strength? God's Word. What helps her to see where to do, what to do and where to go? What helps her to know what to do for her household? God's Word. And so the exhortation to us, and maybe the very important thing for sisters to do, as well as for brethren, because I think sometimes brethren, because we do it because we speak, we prepare things, we think about things, and we study things, folks, so that when we speak, we've got something to say. But sisters sometimes just rely all the time on the brethren. I know you don't, because you have your own book and you're in your own sister's class. But it's important, isn't it, that when we go home and we think about these things, we try and do our readings, that we try and fill our minds with God's Word, and we try and allow the candle to show us which way to go. Because if we don't read God's Word, then how are we going to know what ways to go? You know? And I know we get these, like, evangelicals, I see a lot of them around. They around here, these parts, like, what was that one we passed? Like the Church of God and the Pentecostals. And they all believe they have the Holy Spirit, don't they? That tells them what to do. But we know that the Holy Spirit gifts stops. And we know that the only way that we have the Holy Spirit really is through God's Word. That's how God talks to us. And if we think that we know something, how do we know that it's not our hearts that are telling us it? And our hearts are deceitful above all things. The only way we can be sure is if it's in God's Word. Then we know that that's the truth. We definitely know that's the truth. Okay? So, the candle must burn brightly. Excellent. Let's think about that just a little bit more. Well, I was going to take you somewhere else, but it's interesting to remember. You know, I talked this morning about the incense is like the prayer in the... Oh, yeah. Did you want to say something? No? Yeah? Okay. Okay. I don't understand. You didn't want to ask me? Okay. Well, I was just going to say, you know that incense was made in the tabernacle, and it... like prayer going up, like a sweet smell to God. That's like our prayers and our worship to God. In the tabernacle, in the holy place as well, there was a lampstand, wasn't there? A light that they put on. And in the lampstand, it tells us that the lamp was to always be burning. That every morning, the priest would get up and he'd put more oil in the lamp. And the lamp would burn all the time when the tabernacle was at rest. And it taught the children of Israel that the light, we mustn't allow our lights to go out. Like the virgins, they had enough oil, didn't they, to go and meet the bridegroom. And it's like us, we need enough oil to make sure that the lamps are burning, so that when Christ comes back, our lamps are burning, and we're not like those foolish virgins, you know? So, I just wanted to mention that. It does say that the lamp was to burn always in the tabernacle, and it gives us this continual idea of burning, praying always and thinking about God's ways. But let's consider this one. Can we go to Corinthians again? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. and verse 6. Now this is interesting. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead again. Says, for God, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, the light that was burning was the knowledge of God. That is what helped her. The word of God, the light, was a light unto the virtuous woman's feet. So even though everyone's in darkness, she has that light. She knows where she's going. She's got the hope of the kingdom. And Jesus coming back. That's what's keeping her strong. That's where she's going. And she's telling people about it. And other people can see that this woman has something special, something very special. We know that Jesus says, doesn't he? He says, let your light shine before men. And he says that if you have when we have candlestick, he says we don't put it under the bed. We bring it out so that people can see that we have this precious light. So I think that's another thing. If we're trying to be virtuous before God, we're not ashamed of the things that we believe. If someone says something to us, we're not ashamed to say, well, hang on a second, I'm not sure the word of God says that. Turn with me to this passage, you know, and let's have a think about this. We make sure that we're going back and our lights are shining before men. So let's go back to Proverbs. We're going to quickly go through the next few verses and then have a think of a couple of other things towards the end. And then I'll be quiet because I'll be talking too much. You'll all be getting bored of my voice. where are we? Proverbs chapter 30. Yeah. Right. So we've got 31. Proverbs 31 again. So in verse 19 to 24 of Proverbs 31, it's talking to us about this woman. One of the things that she does a lot is she creates coverings. She's always sewing things to create garments for people, it seems. It says, like, for example, verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, and she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. So she's known to make these coverings for people. Now, what does that mean? Obviously, in the natural sense, we've got to make sure that our family's clothed. That's in the natural sense. That's obvious to everyone. But in the spiritual sense, what's the other thing that we can think about? Because in the scriptures, don't we read about a spiritual covering? We do, don't we? Well, let me show you. I'll take you to a few verses. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 61, the prophet Isaiah chapter 61. This is a really good verse to think about if we're to be virtuous women. Isaiah chapter 61. And verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself for jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. So we have a very deep spiritual thought there, that God, in a sense, in a spiritual sense, has given us a garment to wear of righteousness. He's given us a garment of salvation that we can wear, that we can be clothed upon. We read in the New Testament that that garment is like the Lord Jesus Christ, because righteousness is imputed to us because of our baptism into him. And it's like we've been given a garment that covers our sin, covers our nakedness, that we can go to God in prayer and he will accept us, almost because we've been clothed upon with Christ. That's the kind of idea, that we've got this linen garment of righteousness that we've got on, that our nakedness, our human sinfulness is covered because of our association with Christ. And God's prepared to look at us as his sons and daughters because of that association with Christ. And so this garment of salvation, we can think about that, can't we? Because we can all help with our families who might not be in the truth. You mentioned if your husband's not in the truth, maybe if your children aren't in the truth. But it should always be our desire, like the virtuous woman, that we can help clothe them with the things of God. You know, that they can also have a part of salvation. And so the virtuous woman, she's always trying to help godly things. That she's trying to help people to see that they need this covering. They need to be covered. So they're not afraid when it gets cold and chilly. You don't get that here in Jamaica. But in my country, you do get the snow, I tell you, and it's freezing cold, and everybody's miserable because they're all so cold, and the hands go blue, and the lips go blue because it's so cold. So in cold countries, it's very important that you have clothing, isn't it? And that's the idea, I think, that comes forward here. And in a spiritual sense, sometimes it can be spiritually cold in the world outside, can't it? We can go outside and there's not much going on in the way of praising God, in the true sense of that way. And so one of the things a spiritual woman does is she tries to clothe people when the time is appropriate with the things of God. She tries to bring the children up. In fact, I was going to read to you, this was a summary in the Commandments of Christ booklet, as I say, that Robert Roberts wrote. Command 86, he says, here it is, it's summarizing things. Parents, that's sisters as well, to bring up their children in the enlightenment of the truth and to have them in subjection with all gravity. So we should try and be teaching the children things. And that's what the Sunday school is all about, isn't it? To clothe the children, to teach them the ways of the Lord so that when they grow up, when they choose to, they can become baptized and be clothed upon with Christ. And so the virtuous woman is trying to do that when she can. She's trying to clothe her family naturally, and then spiritually she's trying to clothe her family later. There's another thing that we passed over briefly in verse 20. It says that she was to reach forth her hands to the needy. And so this virtuous woman, she's very mindful of what's going on around her. She's careful about details. She realizes that there's needy people. You know, we can walk through life so attentive on ourselves, can't we, that we forget that there's other people around that are more needful than ourselves. And sometimes we have more than we need. And so we can go and give that to the needy. And it's easy for us to say, and especially in my country, there's so much that people have. They've got too much. They don't know what to do with it. But really, if people were trying to be virtuous, they'd be trying to give those things that God's given to them to help other people. And that's the spirit of Christ, isn't it? He gave everything for us. Every single thing, his last breath, he gave for his friends. And that's like what we should be like, isn't it? But we should be trying to give to the needy. I've got a few other summaries of verses. You'll probably pick up the sentiment of the verses in them. We could look at them, but we just don't have time. And like Commandment 56, give to him that asketh, and to him that is in need, visiting the fatherless and the widow in their afflictions, and give liberally and cheerfully, remembering that the Lord loveth a cheerful giver, and is well pleased with such sacrifices. So it's good, isn't it, that we should be trying to give. And also there's another verse, isn't there, that says, give yourselves to hospitality. And that's what Brother Roy was like to us today. He was very kind to us and allowed us to come in and have a meal with him. Very, very generous. And so we have to try and do that for other people, to be hospitable and visit the sick and the needy. I don't know if there's any sick brothers and sisters in the meeting, in your meeting here in Broughton, but if there are, then we should try and go and visit them and try and help them and encourage them spiritually in the things of the truth so that they remain strong. Even if they're very, very, very sick, you know, fatally sick, let's try and encourage them to remain strong to the end. Right, let's carry on. Verse 25. And here we have it coming together, don't we? Strength and honour are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. And we talked about the clothing is from the Lord, the clothing of salvation, and we talked about the strength from the Lord. Oh, I have the phone. It's okay. So we have to be strong and we have to honour God. Now it's interesting in verse 25 it says, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So the virtuous woman, it doesn't seem that she's always happy now, because it says she's going to be rejoicing in the time to come. It's a future thing. So although we do have a lot to be joyful about now, the real joy that we get is in the future when Christ returns. Because that's when the kingdom's going to be set up. That's when we're going to be clothed upon with immortality, it says. Not just spiritual clothes now, with real immortality when we'll in that time in the kingdom. So that's when the real joy is going to come. There was a few verses that I thought we could look at briefly. Where have I gone to? Strength, honour, rejoicing. Well, let's just have a quick look. You okay? Shall we have a quick look at the first of Peter in chapter 4? About this rejoicing. You know, because we have a lot to be rejoiceful about, to be joyful about now. But the real joy is in the future. That's when we should really be looking for the joy. First of Peter is right at the end, isn't it? First of Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. This is about being joyful now, but listen to what it says. But rejoice, First Peter 4 verse 13. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. Well, actually, we should read some other verses before. Verse 12, probably for connection. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So we see what's happening here. That even though we should be rejoicing now, because the trials that come across us, it's very tough sometimes, isn't it, in the truth, because we have to make sacrifices, terrible sacrifices. Sometimes, when our husbands aren't in the truth, it's very, very difficult, because we have to make terrible sacrifices, things that will annoy the husband, because we're putting God first and Christ first. But and things like that, I mean, everybody has trials. I guess poverty and things like that must be very difficult for you to make. When we don't have anything to eat, things like that, must be very, very trying. But it says in those things we have to try and find some joy, because we know that these trials have come upon us from God. And what we're told here, the apostle says that because we're suffering for the sake of Christ, because we're putting him first, that when the glory is revealed, when Christ returns, when we see the glory of God in Christ, when he's standing in front of us, that we're going to know that if we're accepted at the judgment seat, there's going to be exceeding joy. And that was the thing with the virtuous woman, wasn't it? That she's looking for the joy to come. So her mind is joyful now, content now with the things that's put upon her. But really, she knows that she's going to be joyful in the future. That is where her heart is. That's what's given her strength. That's what God's word teaches us, isn't it? That the things that we have in this life now, they're temporary. The things that we have to worry about, all the things that man says that we need to think about, we've got to put them to one side and think about the future. That's what God wants for us. And that's what God is trying to help us get to, even though sometimes we can't understand the trials that he sends to us. We know that ultimately, Brother Ray keeps saying to me, Brother Matt, all things work for good. That's what he says. Doesn't he say that to everyone? Doesn't matter. You don't know what happens in your life. All things work for good. And that's where our joy should be, at the ultimate good, at the end of the time that we now have, when Christ will return. And if we pass away, we know that that's going to come when Jesus will resurrect us. That's when the joy is to come. So, here we go. Anything else that we can bring out? Well, there's a few more little things. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, I've got lots of verses we could go to about kindness. You know, we must be kind. Everybody knows that. We've got to be kind people. We mustn't be cruel. We mustn't be wicked. The Apostle Paul lists it quite a lot of times. It's, you know, he has big lists of things that we should be. You know, righteous, loving, kind. These are things that he lists quite a lot. We should be kind to one another and especially to those outside. But what I wanted to quickly think about was about being, about wisdom. Because when the virtuous woman opens her mouth, wisdom pops out. Nothing foolish comes out of her mouth. And this is what I wanted to say about wisdom. Because in the next book in Ecclesiastes, there's a very interesting thing that says, we know that the Ecclesiastes was written probably by King Solomon. He was given wisdom by God, wasn't he? And it says this in verse 12 of Ecclesiastes 1. You're probably right there, it's just the next book along. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 12. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. This is King Solomon, the wise king. Verse 13 says, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised wherewith. So he says, we've got to seek for wisdom. And you know, he does something quite amazing, because when you read through Ecclesiastes, he almost has a life experiment. He tries all sorts of things to try and understand wisdom in his life. He tries the things that the men of the world tell him to try. He tries bad things to try and understand wisdom. But ultimately, we have the conclusion of all those things, all the things that he tries under the sun. If you go, well, it says in verse 14, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. There's no wisdom in the things of men. And this is what he says right at the end. If you go to the end in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, after he's gone through all the things that men can offer, he has a very interesting conclusion, which is very good when it comes to being virtuous, if we're to speak according to wisdom. He says in verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The conclusion of his experiment. What is wisdom? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So after all that, he says, fear God. That's wisdom. That is wisdom. You've got to fear God. And so when the virtuous woman, she speaks with wisdom, she's always considering, isn't she, that God is around. That she fears God and the things of God. She's trying her best to do the things that she's read about in God's word and put them into practice. So, there we go. I just wanted to conclude with a few more things. Well, we've got verse 27. She wasn't idle. We talked about that earlier. Not to be idle. You have to work at it. It's not going to come naturally to us. In verse 28, it talks about her husband and her children praising her. She's recognized that, you know, amongst the community, that she's trying her best. And that's what we should be like as well. If we see a sister trying to do things, if we see our brother try to do things, we should praise them, shouldn't we? We should say, sister, that's a very good thing that you've done for me there. Thank you. Thank you very much. And encourage one another and build each other up in the things of the truth. If a brother gives a good talk, a few of you came up to me and said, thank you, brother. And that's good, because that helps me to think, oh, I've said something useful from God's word. Brother Ray gives a good talk. Thank him afterwards. If a sister comes and helps you in a time of need, thank them and praise them for it. It's important, isn't it, that we help one another. Not so that they get a big head and start thinking they're anything special, but that they're doing the right things and they've helped you in the things of the truth. That's the important thing. In verse 30, it says something interesting. Favour is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She's going to be praised of God. And we have in our world today all this stuff about being beautiful, don't we? And I know, well, I assume if you're a sister, you're trying to be beautiful all the time. And you are all beautiful. But the point is that God doesn't necessarily want the outward show of beauty, does he? He wants inward beauty. Fearing God. And the lesson comes out there. And in verse 31, it says that the woman is going to be given... it's a prayer by the wise man. He says, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And so we have this exhortation, this prayer of the psalmist, that the virtuous woman is going to be given the fruit of her hands. And we read in Galatians, don't we, of the fruit of the Spirit, that these things are useful to, you know, when God looks at us, if we have fruit upon us, that will be useful to Him, the things that have come from God's Word. Now I just want to wind up with one final thought before we finish. If we go back to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, we see that these exhortations are not just for women, for the virtuous woman, they're for everybody, and there's a very deep lesson in being a spiritual and virtuous woman in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Because we focus very much on sisters and the sisterly aspect, but it's not just the sisters, some of these thoughts. They're also for everybody, and everybody should be thinking about them, but particularly people who want to be virtuous and the virtuous women. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, Paul says to the believers, are you alright? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There's lots of verses actually on this, but this one's just one of the ones we could have turned to. He says, for I am jealous over you with good, godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, what it's saying is that the body of Christ is like his bride, isn't it? And that when Christ is going to come back, he's going to be married to a bride. And so, what makes up the bride? Well, it's full of virtuous, worthy people, isn't it? That have done all the things that we've thought about. That have been thinking about God's word, have been praising God, have been looking after the needy, looking after the sick. Trying to be strong in the things of God, not slipping, and if we do slip, to pick ourselves up again and to stay back in the things of God. And that's what it's saying, that we should all be like that, brothers and sisters, as we wait for the return of our bride, spiritual bridegroom. That's Christ. So even if we're not married now, we are going to be married when Christ returns. So we all need to be virtuous and looking after each other so that we're ready for. And that's all I thought we could look at today. But it's a good chapter, that, don't you think? That virtuous woman, to be thinking about what we should be doing and the things of God. And I hope it was useful for you all. So now we can have discussions. So if anyone wants to say anything or has any points or wants to add to anything or anything, welcome to do so. In England as well, the women, they work like men, like in the orchids will be in the fields and stuff. It's very difficult. I mean, I think the ideal situation is that you have one man and one woman, and the man goes out to work and the woman stays at home, but that's not always the case, that's not always possible. But the spirit of the virtuous woman is that she's trying to work for her family and trying to, you know, first of all, and then trying to work spiritually for the family. And so I guess even if the woman does have to go out to work, she's still trying to bring things home to the family, isn't she? And even when she's at home, she can still talk to the children about the things of God. She can still talk to the husband if he's open to listening about the things of the truth. And try to bring things on in that respect. So I think I do agree with you. I think the ideal is set out, you know, in the scriptures. Her focus is the family and bringing up the children. That's very difficult sometimes, but we've got to try our best to do that. Yeah. It's very tough for us sometimes.
flourish. Thank you. What does it mean for a holy man is born in the gift?
Well, as I understand it, in the... Well, as I understand it, in those days, in the customs in Israel, when they had a city, they had some gates, and in the gates, that's where the power was for the city. So the people of, like it says Lot, he was in the gates. There's a prophecy that Jesus would, in Genesis, says Jesus will possess the gates of his enemies. And what I think it's meaning is, it's the place where the decisions were made. I think when you go through, lots of things happen in the gates. And that's where the elders sat, the leaders of the city, that's where they were. And what it's saying is that the virtuous woman, she's got a husband who is known in those places. She's got an important husband. And he's there in the gates, in making important decisions. And of course, spiritually, we know that our husband is Christ. He is the one in the gates. And so she's trying to serve him all the time, trying to help him, like the helpmeet. And that's like what we should be trying to do, to help our husband, if we can use those terms. But we should be trying to work for our husband, for Christ, in that sense. So I think you can apply these things to a natural and to a spiritual. You can take it two levels. Naturally, this was a woman who had an important husband, and she was virtuous. But spiritually, we're all a bit like her, because we have Christ in the gates, and we are trying to work for the household, waiting for him to return. So I think that's maybe what it's saying, if that helps. Yes. So, her husband, I think this is talking about a real woman at the time, but spiritually, we're all kind of like a woman who is working for God in that sense. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yes. They did. Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's funny how many times it crops up. The gate, especially in the Old Testament. I think by the New Testament it wasn't such a custom that happened. But it's really important, you know, that I think when we understand it, then we can really think, why are they going to the gates all the time? What's so good about these gates? But I guess it was just the meeting place of the whole city. Anyone who wanted to come in and out had to go through the gate. So the important people were in the gate making the decisions about everything that went on inside. Yeah. I saw someone making notes earlier. Are we making notes? Few little notes. It's good to make notes if you can, because we all forget things, don't we? I forget things, and that's why it's really important to try and make some notes. I don't think anyone's got one, but you can get these Bibles, which we have wide margins, you know, they have extra space on the side. You can write notes in them, so it's very handy sometimes to have that. Yeah. Right then. So, is everybody happy with that? Should we? Ruth's not feeling very well. She's got a very bad headache. The heat got some of the same. Anyone else? No? Shall we conclude in prayer then? Yeah? Are you happy to do that? Should we do that?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come humbly before thee now to thank thee for thy word, which shines as a light unto our feet. We know that darkness is all around, but we know that through thy ways we can find a way to eternal life. And in thy ways we find strength, Lord, and in thy word. And we know that all things work for good to those that fear thee. And we know that wisdom is to fear thee. And we pray, Lord, that the things that we have heard and thought about this evening, we might put into practice in our lives, so that we will be ready and watching for our bridegroom who is to return from thy right hand, the Lord Jesus Christ, to establish thy kingdom. This we hope and pray for more than anything else. We pray that they may be soon, when we will all be gathered to him, that we will rejoice in that day. And we pray that we might keep this vision in our minds, in the forefront of our minds, so that we might combat the problems that we face and the trials that thou sendest us day by day. Please bless us then and be with us, and help us to do things right and pleasing in our sight, as we offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
I hope it was useful. I don't know. I've never done assistance class before. It's very difficult. Don't need to do that. I don't know. It's very kind. I hope Sister Ruth's all right. She's had a very bad head all day. Do you get that sometimes? Bad head in the sunshine?
Yes.
Yeah. Because she's not used to it. She's like a delicate plant. She's like a rose. I have to look after her. Well, it's been lovely to spend some time with you all. What do you do now? You all go home and go back to life. You're going to come on Wednesday for the Bible class? Well, I'll say my prayers for you when I go back into the UK. Remember you all to the brothers and sisters there. Where am I next week? We leave on Tuesday, so we've only got a day left. And then we have to get on a plane. Oh, my jacket on, my scarf, and my hat. Oh, right then. One second. Have a cup of tea. Right, smile everybody. I like photographs, you see. Can you tell? Right. Don't think you can hide. There we go. So who here has children now? Do we all have children? Two children? Three children. Got to get into the lingo. Three children. Two girls. I think I met them today. You have any children?
Grandchildren.
How many grandchildren do you have? How about you?
Six as well.
Six children.
That's
huge. Lots. Yeah, you're telling me. Oh, how about you, sister? Four. And you, sister?
Five.
Six is the record. How about you? No children. That's sensible. No children? Two children. Huh? Sensible. They're all laughing. They're not very
sensible.
They're all big. They're all big. Yeah. Big and fat.
Grandchildren.
Grandchildren as well. Ah, she didn't say that. How many grandchildren? Five grandchildren. Eight grandchildren. She has the record. She wins. So how did you all come into the truth then? Because I was brought up in the meeting. My mum and dad were in the meeting. And, did you brought up?
Yeah.
Brought up?
No, I brought up my children.
Yeah. So how did you find the truth? Okay. But you came in for us. I think Brother Ray wants me to go, so I better get going. Oh, the wife, she's got a bad head. I better go. But it's lovely to get to know you all, and hopefully we'll come back again. And see you again.
We finished with some prayer.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's going to be interesting.
Well, it's out there. You're live on the radio, my dear. You know.
Yeah,
it's
fine.
Can we put which
My stepfather, one mother, one father. My mother died when 3 months old. And my father died when I was 4 plus. So I think around 3 months ago I find my two older sisters. Mm-hmm. And they would like to get contact with him too.
Thank you.
It's okay, she'll be alright. Yeah, there was a little bit there, but it's another one. There was another bottle of water somewhere. Maybe it's in here as well.
Sure. You're meeting all the family lately, eh?
Oh, hang on, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, you'll be okay?
I think so.
Yeah. Hey, do you want me to try and mess up? Come on, let's go.
See you then.
Bye. See you later, everybody.
And you notice funerals, it seems very family.
You have the window down.
For a sad occasion.
Not being a sister is very interesting.
The intensity of family.
So the thing is, it's in the word, isn't it? That's the main thing.
Yes. I'm sure there'll be a fight.
I wasn't inviting you. He's not a sister.